What's up, everybody? Great to be back here. Thankful for you guys joining in again. We took a small hiatus here at Geekable due to the Ukraine-Russia incident, which is kind of costing us. We got a man down today. This is Nick coming at you from Geekable without Anas, unfortunately. Our boy is stuck in Moscow, and it's costing him dearly, and he won't be able to make the show today. We don't know when he'll be back. It's a wild time, but the show must go on. So we have some great guests here today filling in the spot. And we're going to be talking about all things Batman, because the Batman just dropped. It was an awesome movie. If you haven't seen it already, go see it, because it's probably the best Batman movie ever made. No cap on that. Yeah, it's great to be back, everybody. If you're a first time listener, thanks for joining with us. If you're an old timer, thanks again for being here. Let's get into the episode. Let's talk all things Batman. First things first, though, we have guests here. Two very close friends of mine. These guys are awesome. We have Adam and we have Dave. So, yeah, we're just going to go into a brief introduction, just talking about the boys real quick. You know, I met these guys. Dave, I met fairly recently. Adam, I met you in college, bro. So, you know, it's really cool having friends that are kind of into, like, you know, superhero stuff like I am. You know, you guys are kind of being brought into my little world here of comics and movies and stuff. So I love it. It's great having you guys here. Without further ado, I'll introduce Adam first. Adam, what's going on, dude?
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. This is a really cool opportunity, and I'm happy to talk about the Batman and things like that. Also, thanks for buying my ticket for the movies.
We treat our guests here well at Geekable. We do what we can. Unreal having you. Dave, thank you for being here too. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on. A long time movie fan, long time Batman fan. Excited to talk about it.
Let's go. Yeah. I mean, so Adam, you saw it Sunday. This episode's going to be airing probably on like a Sunday or a Monday of this coming week. But, you know, we all just saw it. I mean, are you guys calling cap on me saying it's the best Batman movie ever? Because I kind of think it is. And I personally think it
might be tied with the Christopher Nolan ones. I wouldn't say it's better, but I'd say it's on that level.
Which one specifically, though?
I think the last two are like equally good. They're like a 9 or 10 out of 10.
Okay.
It's probably better than Batman Begins, though. And maybe it's tied with The Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises, in my opinion.
Okay, fair. How about you, Adam?
You know, it's funny. I actually have the same answer, and I don't know how long it took you to come to that conclusion, but it actually took me a long time. But I sat and I thought about it for a while, and I decided, yeah, I think that it is better than Batman Begins. But at the same time, it was very hard for me to put it above the other two Dark Knight movies. And then also on top of that, I understand the hype, and I can't really call you out on the cap, but I do think it's fair to have a discussion about it, because there are some criticisms that I've heard from reviewers, from YouTubers, that I think are fair, and I'm very curious to hear your thoughts about it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, let's dive right into that. Yeah, I'm super excited to say that. Just as far as like my justification goes, or my opinion, I say this because... All right, Dark Knight Rises was an excellent movie because of Heath Ledger's Joker.
That was the Dark Knight without the Rises.
Oh, good catch. Thank you. Yeah. Yes, that was the Dark Knight, which I thought was a good movie because of Joker, right? Mm-hmm. I don't watch the movie for any other reason besides the performance by Heath Ledger, personally.
Really?
Yeah, not really. I mean, I love Christian Bale, but... Yeah, and then the one with Bane after that, which is what, Dark Knight Rises? Yeah, Dark Knight Rises. Mm-hmm. That movie was good. I don't, Batman's a detective, and this movie was just straight up detective shit the whole time.
So I think that a lot of people refer to the Christopher Nolan movies as the Batman villain movies. So The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises are both... centered around the Joker and Bane as the main performers of the movie, while Batman Begins is definitely more so of a Batman movie. And Ra's al Ghul is definitely a cool villain and stuff.
But, oh, I love that you dropped that. Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, Joker, Heath Ledger, and Tom Hardy's Bane are unforgettable performances. So yeah, I definitely see where your opinion comes from that. And I do also love Christian Bale as well. So I think we should talk about Robert Pattinson's performance in this. I think that's a good starting point. But Yash, what do you think about it?
Yeah, so I actually think that, I think the opposite of what you said. I think that this most recent Batman movie was very heavily focused on the villain. It was like kind of a show about the Riddler and his plan. And Batman was kind of just the guy, he was the instrument, as I think the Riddler said. He was enacting the Riddler's plan. And I think a good way to think about that is there's even a quote in the movie where at one point, like Commissioner Gordon was like, should we take down the Riddler? And Batman was like, no, we can't. We have to let this ride out. This is the Riddler's game now.
Right, whether we like it or not. Yeah,
exactly. I think that's a good way to think about the movie. I think like in this particular movie, it was not at all about Batman's character. I think if you look at the number of lines of dialogue that Batman had, it's very, very little. There's almost no character development for him. A lot of it is just about the story and the plot and the politics of Gotham City. And I think if you compare that to The Dark Knight Rises, I think what Christopher Nolan did was he actually developed a lot of the characters a lot more. And even though the plot was really good and it gets a lot of like discussion, I think like one of my favorite parts about that series was actually the relationship between like Bruce Wayne and Alfred. And I think in this most recent movie, like the Alfred character wasn't as developed.
Yeah. Definitely not. I mean, it was very emotional seeing them in the hospital talking about his father, which I also kind of had a problem with just because of how quickly it happened from when Falcone was telling him, you know, your father was this bad guy. And then very, very shortly after that, Alfred sitting there saying, no, your father wasn't a bad guy. So that was one thing I did have a problem with. I think that sequence of events happened a little too fast, but it's just kind of a side note. I do agree that the villain part of the plot was a central theme. And I guess I want to kind of talk about the performance too, because Heath Ledger obviously did fantastic. Tom Hardy did. And I think Paul Dano did very well as the Riddler. It's hard to compare because they're all such great performances, but wow. Nick, I want to hear your take on Paul Dano as the Riddler.
Okay. Yeah. Let's get into that. First of all, I just want to like touch on Yash's point. That's a great point that I didn't even consider. That's a very good point where you bring up the character development of Bruce Wayne, Batman in this.
I'm happy that they didn't go into it because
I see
like
that.
Most other Batman movies, they like rehash, they'll like visually show like his parents being shot. And it's obviously a very depressing scene. And like, we've all like felt that a bunch of times. And like, I'm glad we didn't have to go through that.
Right. Yeah.
I think the most common interaction I've seen on the internet when it comes to people back and forth talking about this is, one person will say, you know, they didn't like how they just jumped into the Batman universe without giving a backstory. And then a lot of people were saying, well, no, we've already had the backstory plenty of times. Like, I like the way Matt Reeves did it, where he didn't need to do the backstory and kind of just put you in the world. So I see both sides of that, but I think
and you know what else I thought was interesting though about it? I thought like when they showed like the mayor when he was shot, and like they had a lot of scenes about like his child, like his son and like his wife. Mm-hmm. I think that had a lot of parallels to Batman's story as well.
Yes.
So like there were elements of that as well. Like
Right. It was letting you know that the origin you know is still there, it's still present.
Yeah.
Which I liked. I agree. We don't need to go through it again. Get on with the story. Save that 10 minutes of story time. Put it somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I really like that. As far as the Riddler's performance, I thought it was good. I thought it was very good. Do I personally put it up there with Heath Ledger and Tom Hardy? Even Cillian Murphy's Scarecrow from, Dark Knight Rise or Batman Begins?
Right.
Probably not. Personally, I thought it was great, but it wasn't until the end with the whole flooding stuff, because I was like, okay, where are we going with this? And that was a big thing for me, because I was like, okay, Riddler had an end game that we didn't see coming, and it was just catastrophe in Gotham City, which I loved. And going on top of that, moving forward with Gotham City, this was a Gotham City movie just as it was a Batman movie. Okay.
I feel that.
Like Gotham City has the, in the comics, and I'm sure it goes for the movie too, because it was just rampant with crime, corruption, and scandals. Gotham City has the highest crime rate in the USA in the comics. Okay. Yeah. It's higher than New York City, Chicago, and Detroit combined. Okay. And it showed in this movie, which was unbelievable. And I was so glad they made a gritty, dark Gotham City. You know, and I really appreciated that going forward, because it was just the aesthetic and the feel too, along with the music, that was unbelievable.
The music was phenomenal. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I feel like that is underrated. Like when people discuss this movie, how good the music was.
Yeah. Yeah. Michael Giacchino murdered it with the score. Like that, it was just unbelievable. So I think as far as everything go, like, I think the movie just had everything going for it. It was a long ass movie too. What was it? I think it capped at
3 hours.
Yeah. 3 hours too, which is awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. I definitely agree with the way they depicted Gotham. I thought that was undoubtedly like better than the way Christopher Nolan did it. And I think that's one of the things that's going to make this, this movie very memorable. I also, just backtracking on your guys' comment about the flashbacks and how it kind of showed you the backstory of Batman, but just by kind of not putting it right in your face, but just giving you little reminders. That's kind of like, you know, if you have a girl and she's just kind of like texting you and giving you a little reassurance that she still likes you, but not bringing up how you guys met all the time. Like, perfect.
Good. Yes. Yeah. I follow you. Yeah. No, yeah. I like that too. And I like the whole thing too, as far as, you know, going from that angle as well, Adam. Which is a good segue into like the whole Zoe Kravitz Catwoman, you know, Robert Pattinson Batman thing. They didn't overplay the love shit, right? It was just, okay, this is here, a lot of tension, you know, just sort of affection. What is it? They're both, you know, wrong place, wrong time people, but like they kind of worked. Like I thought that was played well.
Yeah. And like,
I thought she did a really good job as Catwoman. I thought her performance was pretty strong.
Yeah. Yeah, their relationship. I mean, it's speaks volumes to like his character, Robert Pattinson's character in the Batman, how he dealt with that relationship, because there was not much dialogue whatsoever. I mean, when you when you see him and Zoe Kravitz at the end, just having their interaction when they're leaving, parting ways, like there's not much talking, and she does all the talking really. She just kind of looks at him and, you know, says or asks him to stay, and then quickly realizes like you can't stay, and he doesn't even say a word.
He doesn't. Yeah, he really doesn't. You guys are harping on the like little dialogue thing. I didn't really catch that much, but I mean,
it all comes
just back. Compared to the Nolan films, like the Nolan films were so heavy on like monologues and stuff. Bane had one, Alfred had one, Joker was having them.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
But they were good. Like I enjoyed them.
Great. They were amazing.
Yeah.
And it all kind of comes back to how Batman's depicted in this, and he's really emo Batman. And that's the way I've heard other people describe him. And that's the way I would describe him, is he's emo Batman and emo Bruce Wayne.
Oh, huge emo Bruce Wayne. Mm-hmm. Yes, I heavily agree with that.
Yeah. And I'm so excited to see how his character develops from emo Bruce Wayne to hopefully something cool, like somebody cool, like the Bruce Wayne that we know, because it seems so far off from the Bruce Wayne that we're used to.
Yes.
So,
and that was like a minute one thing. I mean, what I loved about the movie was how personal it got in terms of his narration at the beginning and the end. Mm-hmm. Right. When he's saying like, you know, this city's dying, like it's been dead for years. Like, you know, I don't even know if I'm making it. Like when he's talking, I'm like, oh damn. Like, okay, this is okay. Good to know what's going on in his mind. Cause this is a year two story. This is Batman year two. He's been here for 2 years.
So naive at this point.
Yeah. Still naive. That's a great word for it. That's an excellent word to describe it. He's still naive. He's still learning. You know, I really liked that aspect of it. You know, the end where he's like, maybe I am making a difference, just not in the way I thought I would. You know, that it was stuff like that where you go inside his brain and you kind of see what's going on. I really appreciated that.
Great use of symbolism by Matt Reeves when he's leading the people out with the torch.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very biblical.
Great scene. Great scene. Talking about good scenes too. You know who I really loved was Colin Farrell's Penguin.
Yeah.
Everything. Oh, yeah. Give me all day. All day.
Yeah. You could have told me that was like James Franco, and I would have been like, because it's not Colin Farrell. It's just
It didn't look like him at all.
I know. The makeup was amazing. Who he
played. I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Unbelievable makeup and aesthetic.
He hopped on an interview and he said like he was walking around set and I'm pretty sure it was like Matt Reeves or people just did not recognize him. And it took them a second and then they were just super fucking confused.
Right. Yeah. And that's when you know. I mean, just today it was officially announced that Penguin's getting an HBO show. Will you guys cash in on that? Yes, no, maybe.
I'll watch the trailer.
Okay. We'll watch the trailer by Yash. Okay. I'll be watching it.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
I know you'll be watching it, Nick.
Yeah.
I'll watch it with you.
There we go. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I thought, you know, as far as the whole like action scenes goes, that was the scene for me was the Batmobile Maserati scene. That was really great. I like that a lot. That was an
incredible scene.
Yeah.
Well, can I ask you a question, Nick? So as far as HBO goes, what's their history with releasing like comic movies or comic shows?
Yeah. So we had the Watchmen show air on HBO, which I guess you could kind of call it a comic show, which did excellent, but for whatever, I forget the reason, but it wasn't renewed for a second season. So people were like, okay, like what, you know, so many loose ends, this was dumb. Which I definitely agreed with. HBO is definitely big DC stuff with, you know, they have a lot of plans coming out on HBO. So it's really not here yet. You know, there was going to be a Gotham show, but Matt Reeves kind of shut that down recently. So we're just looking at a Penguin show. But, I thought it was I was really happy to see Penguin in the movie because he's, you know, yes, he's a crime lord. He's all these things, but, people are so used to seeing like, okay, joke, someone who's going to slug it out with Batman. Penguin's sort of like the villain that Batman can never get. And he's a black market drug dealer, weapons dealer, arms dealer, all this other stuff. And he's just constantly a problem for Batman because he's just the crime lord of the city, which I liked. I was like, okay, Riddler, Batman can't slug it out with Riddler. Penguin canceled. This wasn't like a movie about fighting. Like this was just a movie about following the trail, picking up the clues. Where's it going to lead next? And that's why I kind of like this Batman differently too.
Yeah. I think we can all appreciate Detective Batman. I think that it's refreshing and it's super cool how, it reflects the Batman that a lot of people don't know about. And that was forgotten since the comics.
Yeah. Yeah. And going off that too, Adam, was what I really appreciated was seeing a Batman with fear. Like when he was about to jump off the building, he right. like was like, like, damn, I'm about to do this.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, in Nolan movies and all the other, like he's just, you know, does his thing. He's fearless. Like I kind of appreciated the human side a little bit. Cause again, this is a year two story. Like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's the other side of it too. I mean, he was very fearless. But in a lot of ways he's very careless as well. And you can take that as a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, one big criticism I've seen lately is the car scene, which was overall incredible. I think many people can agree that was one of the best scenes in the movie.
Yeah, it's facts.
Yeah. And it was just fucking sick. And the way it was done was cool. But, if you look a little deeper into it, I mean, the carelessness that Batman showed while he was going on this car chase. I mean, there was clearly a lot of innocent people that got
very valid.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely wrecked. Just terrorized by this car chase.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's not something that we're used to, just seeing Batman, you know, acting careless when it comes to hurting innocent people.
Or right. Right. Cause he's usually very calculated. Yeah. Yep. Yep. I mean, what do you guys, how old do you think Batman was in this? Like what, like 28, 29? Probably around there. I mean, I wish I started out with this, but what's your guys' experience reading comics at all? You guys have much?
I'm just getting into it actually because of you, because you kind of introduced me into that world. So
I love that. Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm actually just getting into it, and I have a lot of questions for you. But I am curious about like what your take is with the comics versus this movie and how they match up, because I've read a little bit about it. And there's Detective Batman goes back all the way to the 30s.
Yes. Right? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Golden Age. Yeah,
exactly. So, yeah. I mean, so much history to it that I don't know about it. And I'm so super curious as to.
Yeah. Happy to educate. You know, you guys both come off as like, you know, your stuff, honestly, going through the show.
Yash and I don't know shit, but we're super happy to talk about the Batman.
I love it.
Movie tickets.
I love it. Yeah. There we go. Yeah. We don't get much monetization here, but when we do, we spread it around. No, that's good. So a Batman 2 hasn't been announced yet. Mm-hmm. I think it's inevitable because this thing crushed in the box office. It just it crushed. It did way better than we all thought. Would you guys be hyped for a Batman 2?
Yeah, if they could keep up the same like level of like storytelling and the same performances and like not make it a cheesy sequel, I would be very excited for that.
Okay, are you a big sequel guy or nah? Like, if there's like, you know,
well, if it's done well, like honestly, The Dark Knight was better than Batman Begins, so that's like a good example. Yeah. But for many other movies, it's not the case, as we know.
Yes,
I think I think that the Batman series is that looked at as an anomaly in the course of movie history. And so I think we got to look at it as this next Batman, the Batman that comes out, it should be very hyped because this movie in a lot of ways set up for the next Batman film to come out. And I think everybody wants to see Bruce Wayne's character development. Everybody wants to see what happens next. So I will definitely be watching it. And I think everybody's hoping that it does have that same effect that The Dark Knight did after Batman Begins, which is very, very hard to live up to. So I'm excited to compare it when it does come out.
Absolutely.
That'll be a great, a great podcast.
Yes. We'll have you guys back for that. Another question I have for you guys too, is I'm very curious about your thoughts on this, is as you know, Marvel movies, the thing fans appreciate most is how it's all connected, right? Captain America will appear in a Spider-Man movie, right? It goes on and on. And the ramifications of one movie will affect another. Are you guys cool with this just being like a Batverse, as Reeves calls it, with, you know, there's no Superman, there's no Wonder Woman, it's just Batman. What are you guys thinking of that?
I think it's good to try. I think we just tried a DC universe and I don't think the movie's got too much of a warm reaction. Yeah. So I think it's maybe just focus on what's working and let's not try to copy other universes.
Yeah, I think that in throughout history, I feel like DC has been good at immersing the viewer in the world, as opposed to Marvel with their kind of exuberant playing through different dimensions and stuff. I think that like they contrast in that way. And they're very different. And I think that they both play into that to that theme in their own unique way. And I think DC did it very well in this movie. I think they should continue to do that.
What I think is interesting? I think like when you look at the Marvel series, it's like very clearly like fake and like, and like the superheroes, they have like crazy powers. Like they could like travel through time and like they could like manipulate matter and like all kinds of like magical,
I see where you're going with this,
fantasy stuff. And the Batman, like this was like very realistic. Like Gotham, like could have been any old city, and in fact, it's like based off New York, like a very real city. And like the story that they told us, like crime and like corruption and graft, is like a very real story. So I think like each universe has its own strengths, and they should play to it. And as long as like DC like keeps it realistic and gritty, also like the Joker movie that came out a few years ago.
Oh yeah.
And they'll definitely like be on the right track.
Yeah. Okay. Now you're talking that. Yash, love that. I was going to go there next and ask you guys, the Joker movie that came out in 2019 was for me, honestly, one of my all time favorite, not even just superhero movies, but movies alone. Mm-hmm. We saw Joker in the Batman. He was locked up in Arkham next to the Riddler. It won't happen, but in my perfect little world, Joaquin Phoenix's Joker from 2019 would be the perfect fit for this Batman. Do you guys agree with that? What are your thoughts on that?
That's an interesting point, and I haven't heard anybody talking about that yet. I do think as soon as I watched this film, I kind of thought about the Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie.
And oh, okay. Interesting.
I saw the parallels between the two, and just, I mean, the way that Gotham was depicted, I feel like is as very similar.
Yeah.
I don't know if Joaquin Phoenix is just, he is almost too much of a human to be in this kind of series. I think the Riddler, just off the bat, was just a crazy person. There was so much character development in Joaquin Phoenix's Joker.
Yeah, there was.
It was a Joker movie. So it'd be a crazy concept to see that.
Yeah, wouldn't it? Yeah, I mean, that idea will never bear fruition, unfortunately, or even be entertained. And you know, there's a reason you probably haven't seen it anywhere, is because it's just. But have you seen that movie, Yash?
Joker, yeah, I loved it. Yeah. I thought it was a great movie. Also, yeah. Didn't feel like a superhero movie with all kinds of like magic and superpowers. I thought a lot of the visual styles were very similar, you know, like dark atmosphere, rainy, like those yellow like fog lights or whatever. Mm-hmm. I like that, actually. As far as like a villain for Batman, I feel like Robert Pattinson's Batman is very emo, and I think a strong, like crazy character like Joker, I don't know if Batman wants to be able to handle him. I think Batman's still not fully mentally mature enough to be able to tackle a villain like that. Yeah, okay. Like it was even like that in The Dark Knight, but you had like a wise character like Alfred, who like really navigated Christian Bale through the craziness of the Joker and was able to keep him on his feet. Yes. I don't know if Robert Pattinson would be able to handle it or if he'll get lost in the craziness.
I think Alfred even carried him in this movie as well, pretty much.
Yeah. I would agree. He kept it. Yeah, right. I mean, he mm-hmm. is the father, you know, like Bruce stung him with that, like, you're not my dad. Like, back off. And I was like, okay, like, you know.
You're not my fucking dad.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, I would love for them to dive back into Bruce and Alfred's relationship a little more in the next movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like that too. You know, Andy Serkis is a great actor. There's no reason why he shouldn't have a little more screen time, in my opinion, mm-hmm. as Alfred.
It felt like maybe he was like kind of like an ex, like a military guy or MI5 or 6 or CIA, just like the way he was built, and like he knew how to like crack codes. And he said like, I couldn't be a father for you, but I could teach you how to fight. Like it seemed like he was more of like a trainer, like a coach. So it would be interesting to see a little bit of that backstory.
Yes. I like that. I like that a lot. And just going back to what you said before, Yash, a few minutes ago, the mental health aspect of this movie was extremely prevalent. Okay. Almost not comparable to 2019's Joker, but it was there. You know, we saw Bruce is, you know, in the comics, he's a hero end of the day, like through and through, but like, he's messed up in the head. Yeah. Okay. He goes through extreme trauma, just everything you can list and name. Was that something you guys kind of thought was interesting? Was, you know, Nolan's Batman was very like straightforward, like sharp as a, you know, just sharp as a tack. Mm-hmm. Like guy could like do anything. Like this was a different Batman in the sense that like he was dark, brooding, and it especially got worse for him once he found about, you know, his mom was in and out of Arkham. You know, his father may or may not have done that. Started getting me like, I was like, damn, okay, this is like a Batman I didn't think I would see. Like, this is, you know, the mental health aspect of it was there, which I thought was great because it's there in the comics.
Yeah, I think did a good job of depicting Batman and Bruce as a very flawed man. And I think that's super important to his core character. And I guess that is true compared to what people are saying with, you know, there isn't much origin. There's not much of an origin story, but I guess in that way, you know, there is like, there's a lot of flashbacks that show why he is the way he is and why his mind state is at the level that it is. And especially when you see that scene where he's fighting on top of the Madison Square Garden building, and he's really about to kill that dude. Brain checks him with the adrenaline, and then just almost fucks this guy up
completely. Yeah, that was a great, I'm glad you brought that up, because that was cool. The whole, like, you know, pumps himself with adrenaline, just starts almost beating the guy to death.
Like, you're like, this guy, this is someone who should be checked into Arkham Asylum right here.
Yeah, so I know. I like it. So, you know, going forward, I guess, just to kind of lasting thoughts here, would you guys be down for, like, pick the story up a year from now? What year would you love to, because again, this was a year two. Would you like to wind the clocks forward 3 years, or is that a little much? 2 years and have a different villain? And part two of that question is, would you like to see, you know, a Deathstroke or a Killer Croc or a Clayface, someone for Batman to actually fight and not try to outsmart?
Adam, you want to take this one?
Sure. I would love a plot twist. I would love for something to happen with Officer Gordon where, you know, their relationship gets torn apart. I would love to see the Joker do his thing. I mean, whether that's a couple years in the future or longer than that, I think that Gotham needs to rebuild after what the fuck just happened. I mean,
I know. Yeah, Gotham got screwed bad. Yeah, bad, that's
bad. Worse than I've ever seen Gotham.
Yeah.
Before. And so I think it's going to take some time to rebuild. And I think at the end, you know, Batman saying like, this place is still not, it's on the decline. And even more so after that whole situation, he's saying martial law is in effect.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, it can only get worse from here. So I don't think it necessarily needs to flash forward too long in the future before things just all go to shit.
I like your thought process there because, you know, the movie literally ended with like, things are gonna get worse before they get better,
right?
We had Penguin there sitting there just kind of like what I thought, just thinking about the city, his next move. He's the top dog now in Gotham as far as we know. You know, the crime is only going to go up with everything.
Riddler and Joker are next to each other in the
that's cell. A problem. That's a problem.
That's a huge issue.
That's a problem. I don't know, Josh, what do you think?
Yeah, so I think actually there could be some interesting developments in the next movie with like the new mayor that they had just installed. I think she could be a really interesting character.
Yeah, I liked her.
She's around the same age as Batman, and she seems like she's like got a strong character, mm-hmm. and they can make a good team together. As far as villains, I'd like to see them kind of play in the kind of like a more realistic villain, nothing crazy, like a Killer Croc, you know, or like mm-hmm. half man, half a crocodile. Who they could do, I don't know, maybe like Harley Quinn or something like that.
Two-Face, maybe.
Yeah, ooh. Two-Face.
Now they you're talking. Political oh, theme I like well. That. Oh, I like that a lot.
Yeah. Or Ra's al Ghul in a reinvented form.
Right. Yep, very nice. I was just about to say, there's a plethora of... You know, that's the thing about Batman is he arguably has the best villains in comics, right? I mean, you have, that's the thing. There's so many different angles you could go with it. I'm excited to see what they do next. Should they move forward? I couldn't see why they wouldn't. We have Robert Pattinson saying he's absolutely 110% down to continue playing Batman. He enjoyed the experience. Zoe Kravitz enjoyed the experience. And of course, Matt Reeves would do a second should the movie succeed. And we all know Warner Brothers is going to offer him a fat bag to come back. To come back and do that. So, yeah, I mean, overall, I think we covered some great points. You guys have any lasting points before we bump off here? I really, you guys have me thinking here. I like it a lot.
Yeah, no, I'm super happy to come on. And I think one thing that I want to see from you, Nick, is maybe now that the Batman has popped off, I love a nice discussion about Marvel versus DC. I think we got to bring that discussion.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We haven't done that on the podcast yet. You know, we haven't done that yet. So
it has to be the forefront
debate.
Okay.
Conversation.
Okay. All right. I love that. Yash, any last words?
No, I just want to say shout out to Robert Pattinson. I was definitely skeptical of the movie going into it. It wouldn't be that good.
Me too, bro. Yep.
Yeah, the whole cast and crew really delivered a very solid experience. So shout out to them.
Yeah, good. And overall, 5 stars being, you know, outstanding, excellent. Adam, what would you give it?
I'm going to give it a, if Dark Knight was 4.5 out of 5, if not 5 out of 5, I'd give this a 4 out of 5.
Okay, very fair. How about you, Yash?
I'll give it 4.5 just for blowing expectations out of the water.
Good. Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Oh, awesome. Okay. Yeah. What would I give it? I'd probably give it a, you know what I'd give it? I'd probably give it like a 4. So I've seen the movie twice, which definitely helps.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So which definitely, that definitely helps. You know, just going into it a second time. Honestly, I'd probably leave it at like a 4. I've leave it at like a 4.2, 4.3 out of 5. Yeah. There's a few things that I didn't have a problem with, but I liked, you know, my favorite scene out of the whole movie, to be totally honest, like I love the chase scene, but for me, it was the, that funeral scene.
Yeah. That was,
A crazy scene.
That was just dramatic and just, it was right. I don't know that for me.
I love the conversation Bruce Wayne had with Falcone and how they called back to it. They're like, why do you think he did that for me? And Bruce Wayne's probably, oh, because he's a doctor, took the Hippocratic Oath. But then you find out the relationship later and it all makes sense.
Yes. That took me a while in the theater. I was a bit slow with that one, like the whole Falcone. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I got lost a little bit with it, which I don't know why. Maybe, I don't know. But
I kept on confusing Falcone and Maroney. I didn't realize they're two separate characters.
I did too. Yeah. Which I don't know. Maybe it's. Yeah, I don't know. But overall, yeah, I'd give it like a 4.2, 4.3. I was very happy with it. Will I see another? Absolutely. Yeah, all day I'd see another. But anyway, everyone listening, we would love to hear what you thought of the movie. This is probably going to be arguably the biggest DC movie release of this year. You know, we have Black Adam coming up. We have The Flash coming up. We have Aquaman coming up. All three of those look pretty good. Batman's Batman. Batman sells because he's Batman. So we'll see what happens. We'll see where it goes. But again, for any new listeners, thank you for joining us for your first episode here. We hope to see you stick around for many more. And to all our old time listeners, thank you so much, you guys, for being back here. We hope you appreciate it. We'll see you next time. And if you enjoyed the episode, please, you know, if you enjoyed our guests, Adam is on Instagram at Adam_Acker. You can follow him. Yash is Instagramless, which I absolutely respect and appreciate. He is not on social media, but he is always, he's going to be back on Geekable. Yash so
is the Batman.
Yeah. Yash is the Batman. Yeah. There we go. Yash is the Batman. He's in the Batcave right now. anyway, everybody, thank you so much for listening. We will see you here again. And yeah, everybody, thank you so much. And we will see you next time. Peace.